The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hi, everybody. Wait, let me get up a minute. One second. Yeah, like, I listen to Nicole Sandler. Is it time for the Nicole Sandler show? I forgot to turn the computer on. Let me just walk over here and I'll boot up my computer because I don't want... Oh, crap, I just... Never mind, it's okay, I got another one.
Yeah.
Leave it there, the cat will get it.
Uh-huh.
Got a little tune here. Right? A little song to sing for you.
Sing it, baby.
That Nicole, she does something. She's really there.
All right, this is just kind of how I'm feeling today.
And does things.
One of those days.
Nicole Sandler show.
Yeah, thank you so much. I almost didn't get here in time for the show today because I had a doctor's appointment. I had the specialist, the eye specialist. And the news, frankly, isn't good. So I was a little wrong in my diagnosis. He says it's not quite the, what did I think it was, macular pucker, the macular pucker. No, it's called vitreomacular traction. Kind of the same thing. But this membrane that grows, that sits along the back of your eyeball against the retina, as we get older, the membrane detaches a little bit. If it detaches entirely, you're fine. But sometimes it only detaches partially and it leaves the part right in the middle adhered to the retina. This is my layperson's explanation of it. And it creates a distortion. So like right in the middle of your line of vision, my right eye is the technical term, I believe, is fucked. So the only treatment for it is surgery. Aren't I lucky? And so isn't it fortunate that my guest today is Wendell Potter? Think back about 10 years, 12 now, to the fight for the Affordable Care Act. It was before that, when Obama had just come into office, that this man named Wendell Potter, who had worked for Cigna, the health insurance company, went before Congress and testified against his industry. He was the PR man for Cigna and for the whole for-profit health insurance industry. In fact, part of his responsibility, one of his jobs, was to debunk Michael Moore's Sicko movie when that came out. Now, you can't debunk it because that movie was brilliant and you can still watch it today. I'm sure it's all over the TV. No, LASIK cannot fix it. It's a different kind of thing. They have to go in and remove that membrane entirely. But then to protect the retina, I guess while it heals, they put in like a gas bubble. And so when the gas bubble is there, it's basically a bubble in front of the retina. So you're effectively blind in that eye for a matter of weeks, at a minimum, depending on how big of a bubble they have to insert, until the bubble, you know, goes away and replaces with natural fluids from your eyes. It doesn't sound fun. It's an outpatient surgery. But to complicate matters, we're going to be moving soon. And with moving comes packing and boxes and things like that. And so, you know, I'm just a bit overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. And so part of it, you know, he said, well, do you know where you're moving? And we said, it's probably Arizona. He said, well, you know, you could probably wait. Now, the thing is, if I let this go, it could, and the thing is, it's different for everybody. It could potentially get a whole lot worse. It could result in blindness. Isn't this fun? So I could wait till, you know, we get out if we go to Arizona, right? Except health insurance. I have Florida Blue. I don't think anyone takes Florida Blue in Arizona or anywhere other than Florida. And because it's one of those HMOs, it is a very limited network. So I know when I move, when I leave this state of confusion, I'm going to have to get new health insurance somewhere else, but that would delay this procedure even more. So I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. I really, really don't know. But hey, it's just another, another day in America, things we have to deal with. So I'll tell you what, I'm in a bit of a mood. I'm excited. Wendell Potter's going to join us and he'll come on early today. Actually, when I invited him, I sent him a note early this morning. He's got a newsletter, a Substack newsletter. And actually, I hadn't seen this when I invited him on. He just popped into my mind, mostly because I've been thinking about Medicare and the Medicare Advantage scam and everything they're doing. Now this whole direct contracting scam that's sort of the next step of Medicare disadvantage. And so, I've been thinking about it. So I wrote him and he said, yeah, I would love to. Here's the thing. I'm headed to the Philadelphia Folk Festival. And he said, but I can do it from the car. So we'll be talking with Wendell Potter from his car in a little while. But he did send out, if you subscribe to his Wendell Potter Now Substack newsletter, you would have gotten an email from him today. And the headline reads, Dr. Oz wants to force Pennsylvania seniors into Wall Street-run health insurance plans. And it's everything that I've been thinking about. So sometimes things are just meant to happen, right? Meant to be. Just like I come home, first of all, they dilated my pupils again. So, I'm really not seeing very well. I can't do a whole lot of reading because my eyes, everything is blurry. But I got home and I was setting up for the show again, running really late, and finally got it all going. And I go into YouTube to set up for the YouTube broadcast. And what pops up on my screen? But a brand new Randy Rainbow video. And I thought, on a day like this, I could use Randy Rainbow. And I see our friend Joy Williams is back in the YouTube chat today. Joy has been in the hospital this week. Last couple of weeks, she wasn't feeling well. And it turned out she's in the hospital. I'm glad to see she's in the chat, so she must be feeling a little better. Joy, welcome back. I know you're still in the hospital. So, what is going on? So I think we could all use a song, right? So with no further ado, take it away, Randy Rainbow. Here we go.
Okay, everyone, welcome back to the January 6th hearings, which will finally determine the criminal culpability of former fake president Donald Jessica Trump. Now let's go to some behind-the-scenes DVD extras from his pre-recorded address to the nation on January 7th. Okay, whenever you're ready, sweetie.
And we are rolling. Everyone please clear the set. We're rolling. Thank you. Okay, Mr. President, you're on in five.
You got this, bitch.
Three, two.
I would like to begin by addressing the heinous attack yesterday.
Sing out, Louise.
But this election is now over. Congress has certified the results. I don't want to say the election's over. I just want to say...
Just say you're a big fat loser.
My only goal was to ensure the integrity of the vote.
Let's take that again.
I would like to begin by addressing the heinous attack yesterday. Yesterday is a hard word for me.
Yesterday. Such a complicated word to say. When his dentures start to slip away, he's not okay with yesterday. Plain to see how he screwed with our democracy. Binging Big Macs while he watched TV. This just ain't on our history. Take the ass.
joined now by the man everyone's talking about, Attorney General Garland. Judy, seditious conspiracy, espionage, bad hair. What the hell is it going to take to nail this guy? No pressure.
The Justice Department has been doing the most wide-ranging investigation in its history.
Well, step on it, sis, because he's getting ready to announce, and we cannot let him be president again. I'm running out of show tunes.
The Justice Department has, from the beginning, been moving urgently to bring to justice everybody who's criminally responsible for interfering with the peaceful transfer of power.
We said, girl, time to go.
He said no.
That piece of trash. Stop the steal, grab the wheel, and try to crash the country misery. On that awful January day, when Josh Hawley tried to join the fray, then shit his pants and ran away.
Blasphemy!
What? Cried the slimy awful GOP when they broke into his property for national security. He's done every crime now. Time to crush this clown. Go and lock him up, or he'll flush this country down the toilet. Yesterday, please don't take us back to yesterday. Get your shit together, DOJ, and prosecute like yesterday. Lock him up like yesterday.
Oh my God.
Wow. 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 Randy Rainbow. Oh, I think he outdid himself there. I only saw the beginning of it. Seriously, because I came back into the house maybe 4:15 to get on the air at 5, and I had nothing set up. So I didn't have a chance to hear the whole thing. I listened to the beginning and thought, I'll watch it along with you guys. And that... Caroline in the chat room just said, wow, this is the best Randy Rainbow ever. That might be one of my favorites. His I forget what it was called, but it was the takeoff on Jesus Christ Superstar. That was up there. But this is certainly one of the best ones. That was great. Just in time, Randy Rainbow's going on tour. So anyway, awesome. See, this is all we need sometimes, or music and laughter, right? And that does the trick. All right. So, well, Wendell Potter, how's this for a segue? Wendell Potter is getting the music fix this weekend because he is on his way to the Philadelphia Folk Festival. We'll find out from him what that's all about. But I'll tell you what, he's going to be on the phone. So let's just get him on the phone. I also want to ask him, you know, what little bit is in this new IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act, which again is kind of a misnomer of a name, but hey, a win is a win is a win. Wendell Potter, are you there?
I'm here, just now parking.
Oh wow! So
hold on.
Okay, are you at the venue where the Philadelphia Folk Festival is happening?
I just arrived this minute and just now parked, and let me get my phone closer to my face. How
okay.
about that?
Sounds good. So again, Wendell Potter, let me tell you right now, you need to subscribe to his newsletter. He's got a Substack newsletter. And today, in fact, I'm sitting waiting at the doctor's office. They had just put in the drops to dilate my pupils. And sure enough, an email comes in from you, Wendell, and it's talking about... Hey. Dr. Oz and how he wants to force Pennsylvania seniors into Wall Street run health insurance plans. And funny, that's yep. one of the things I wanted to talk with you about today. So, you live in Pennsylvania these days?
I sure do. I live in Philly. And, as you noted, I'm at the Philadelphia, just arrived at the Philadelphia, Folk Festival. It's a wonderful day. And, I don't want Oz to be my next senator, I'll tell you that.
No, I bet you don't. I don't want him to be your next senator either. Did you see his crudité video that's making the rounds?
Oh, yeah.
Kind of funny.
Absolutely. We're loving that here in Pennsylvania.
I'll bet. So, you know, let me ask you then quickly about John Fetterman. Do we know what his position is on universal health care, on Medicare for all?
You know, I don't think he has come out as an advocate for Medicare for all. I could be wrong about that. I do think that he is someone who can be persuaded to join the members of Congress and Senate who have endorsed Medicare for all. And I would love to see him sign on as a sponsor to Bernie Sanders' Medicare for all bill.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he could be. I think he could be persuaded because he knows firsthand the problems that so many people face, even with insurance. And so I'm hopeful.
Right. You know,
better than Dr. Oz. That's for darn sure.
No, well, that goes without saying. And the question is, to what degree better would Fetterman be? And the thing is, having just come through a major health scare, you know, he had a stroke. He probably has some new insights into our healthcare system and our health insurance system, because as we know, they're two different things, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And I suspect that he probably has found out what it's like to have a lot of out-of-pocket expenses, even with insurance. And that's one of the things, Nicole, I think you know that I'm really getting fired up about, is to get lawmakers and employers and everybody else aware of just the crisis that we have with people who have insurance, but in many cases they can't use it. If they have to, they often go broke or have to go to GoFundMe to beg for money from strangers to help pay off their medical debt. 100 million Americans, according to Kaiser Family Foundation, have medical debt, and the vast majority of those folks have health insurance. They just can't use it, or if they do, they go into debt.
And
that shouldn't be.
No, it shouldn't be. And that's just, you know, standard health insurance, whether you get it through your employer, on the exchange. And those are pretty much the two ways people get before the age of 65. That's how we get health insurance these days. Now, those of us who get our insurance through the exchanges, through the Affordable Care Act, just got a big gift this week, when President Biden signed into law this new, what they call the Inflation Reduction Act, because it does have some health care provisions in it that I wanted to ask you about. There's a couple of things. To me, being someone who gets my insurance through the exchange, and my premiums were cut thanks to Biden and his pandemic relief packages, our premiums were cut to help us pay for the insurance during the pandemic. Well, this bill extends those cuts for another 3 years. So that's pretty huge.
Yep. It is huge. It's BFD, as it really is important, because if that hadn't passed, a lot of people, probably you, would have faced having to pay a lot more money for their health insurance. And this will, at least for 2025, be an extension of the subsidies, which are so important because, Nicole, 40% of people who get their coverage through the marketplace, through the exchanges, are underinsured because of high out-of-pocket. So not only would people have to pay higher premiums, but also be saddled with higher out-of-pockets as well.
That's right. Now, so that is good. Now, the other health care provisions in this new bill, this new law, that it's now law, which, you know, 2 weeks ago, I never would have believed you if you told me 2 weeks from now we're going to have like a very, very skinny Build Back Better, Build Back Smaller, I think somebody called it the other day. But you know, still, the few things that are in it are good for the most part. The provision that the government can now negotiate with pharmaceutical companies for drugs, on the surface sounds a whole lot better than it is, but I guess this is a baby step and you got to walk before you can run. But it starts next year and it only covers 10 medications?
That's right. It starts with 10. And after the down the road, there'll be 10 more and then 10 more. It is incremental. It is gradual. but it's important. It's, you know, Democrats, well, a lot of Democrats have been trying to get this passed for years and years and years. Going back to 2003, when the drug benefit for Medicare was created, that was during the George Bush administration, the George W. Bush administration, and Democrats, Republicans controlled both the House and the Senate, and they passed the bill that created the Part D benefit that was largely a big gift to pharmaceutical companies and insurance companies, where you had to buy your drug benefit. Mm-hmm. This will be helpful because back then and since then, there have been efforts to try to get Medicare to be allowed to negotiate. They tried it when the Affordable Care Act was passed, sure, but couldn't get it done. So this is a big deal. It really is.
It definitely is. And in a few years, then I think 20 more drugs go on the list. And hopefully, yep, you know, if the Democrats can get a few more senators in there, keep control of the Senate and keep control of the House. I'm crossing all my fingers and toes now. Can fix that. We can make it better. But this is at least a step in the right direction. And there's a cap for seniors of $2,000 out of pocket annually for drugs. And that's,
huge.
It still sounds like it's still a lot of money, but it's better than it was before by a long shot.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, by a long shot, because many seniors had to take incredibly expensive medications. And even if their medication is on the so-called formulary, they still are often on the hook for many, many thousands of dollars. I'm one of them. And so this is a blessing for a lot of seniors who will save money. You're right, $2,000 is still too much, but it's a lot better than unlimited exposure.
Exactly. It's a lot better than unlimited exposure. So we're talking with Wendell Potter. And so now, that's pretty much what it does, right? It continues the subsidies for three more years. It lets Medicare negotiate with pharmaceuticals for drugs and has this cap. That's what's in this bill. Okay, now the next topic to talk about is what your newsletter is about today, and that is Medicare and this onslaught, this ongoing barrage of commercials. I thought that would end once we got past open enrollment period for Medicare, but they keep these Medicare Advantage spots going year-round. So what you do, you can't get away from William Shatner or Jimmy J.J. Walker or Joe Namath or whoever is pitching it today. So let me ask you about Medicare Advantage and then the newest scam in the privatization of Medicare scheme that's going on, direct contracting.
Yeah, they're both big schemes. They are a continuation of the Republicans' efforts. Their big dream has been to privatize the Medicare program completely. They haven't been able to do it, but it has been is being done gradually through the Medicare Advantage program, and then, as you noted, through this something called the ACO REACH effort, which would allow private equity firms and subsidiaries of big insurance companies to come in and get a significant part of the Medicare beneficiaries, people who have not enrolled in Medicare Advantage. It's another way to get them into private plans, which I think is just outrageous. And the Biden administration hasn't stopped it.
No.
They stopped one part of it, but they're letting one part go forward. There are a lot of us who are trying to get the Biden administration to reverse course and stop it. But it's very dangerous, and it's a damn shame that the Democrats are letting that go forward.
It really is. And again, with these ads that just are never ending, the disinformation is, I just find it insulting. These ads are almost as bad as the auto insurance commercials that run ad nauseum as well. First of all, let me ask you, because a listener corrected me the other day. I objected to one of these ads calling Part C Medicare Advantage, and I was told that's exactly what it is. It is Part C. Medicare Advantage is an official part of the lettering system, and there's Part A, which is what I don't know that I don't even know what they. It's so complicated. They certainly don't make it easy, do they?
No, they don't. It's incredibly complicated. Medicare Advantage became Part C back in 2003 during that when that bill was passed during the Bush administration. I referenced the 2003 Medicare Modernization Act, as it was called, established Part C, which is voluntary. You don't have to enroll in it. And Part D, which is a pharmacy benefit that came, at the same time. They created C and D with that bill. You don't have to enroll in either one of them. You don't have to enroll in B either. But C is what they created for Medicare Advantage. They named it that. Prior to that, there was a private program that they called Medicare Plus Choice. But the way it was structured, insurance companies were not too thrilled with it. They weren't getting into it. If they were, many of them, like Cigna, got out of it because the government wasn't paying them enough. With that bill, they began paying private insurance companies boatloads of money to get into the program, and they've continued that. They're making money unlawfully by the way they've gamed the system. They've been paid bonuses to participate. It's just an outrageous scandal and a scam that we can't seem to stop.
Right. And again, these ads, which if you watch any cable news, you see at least one in every commercial break, it seems. Yep. And they're saying, you know, you don't automatically get Medicare Part C. So, you know, call, put in your zip code and see if you're eligible for a no premium policy. And not only that, we'll pay you. We'll add money into your Social Security check each month, and we'll pay for your exercise, and we'll pay for your, I mean, all these extras. It's like they're giving you stuff. Now, how can they do that? Because we, the taxpayer, our money goes to pay Medicare, means it goes to pay for these Medicare Advantage plans to these, as I call them, for-profit healthcare extortionists, because you need it. If you don't have it, you pay more. I digress. This costs us even more money to implement than traditional Medicare, doesn't it?
It does. It's sucking money out of the Medicare Trust Fund much faster than traditional Medicare. And they're overpaying these companies for every person who enrolls in a Medicare Advantage plan. They get more money than if you were staying in traditional Medicare. It's just an outrageous setup. It's become insurance companies' big cash cow. United Healthcare, which is the biggest insurer, 99.3% of that company's health plan enrollment since over the past 10 years has been in public programs, Medicare Advantage and Medicaid. They've gotten into that program as well, too.
Right.
Making money hand over fist. And Democrats have just been sitting by. And you're exactly right, Nicole. The ads are misleading. They obscure important information. Unlike drug companies, which have to have disclaimers and say, here's what the side effects are, insurance companies should be doing the same thing. That is something I am going to be a champion of, is to get lawmakers to say, if you're going to advertise, you have to tell the truth, and you have to tell the things that people need to know. These, you know, the way they come across, it sounds too good to be true. And you
right.
know what?
It is.
It is too good to be true.
Because what happens is, when you're on a Medicare Advantage plan, it's like you're just in another private for-profit insurance plan. Back in the days before the Affordable Care Act, where they could just deny you services, right? Do they have to live by the same regulations as doctors do under the ACA, or they have more leeway to deny you stuff you need?
They can deny you stuff. That's one thing that's one of the things they don't tell you. If you are in a Medicare Advantage plan, you are susceptible to aggressive prior authorization, which means your doctor, in many cases, has to get permission from the insurance company before they can prescribe your medicine go forward with treatment or get an imaging test done. That's one thing. The other is you could be on the hook for many thousands of dollars out of pocket
if you knowingly or inadvertently go out of network care because you won't get coverage for it.
Right.
And those networks are very limited. Your doctor might be in it today, but not next month. And people sign up thinking their doctor and their favorite hospital is in network. You can't count on that being the case.
Right. Now, and this is opposed to traditional Medicare, where if your doctor takes Medicare, your doctor can order whatever tests, prescribe any medicine, procedure that he or she deems necessary. It will be, there's no approval. It goes through. Medicare will cover it. Yep. Here's the problem. Yep. It should be. I mean, I thought, I can't wait till I turn 65. I can go on Medicare. Then you find out your standard Medicare, just basic what they take out of your Social Security check, I believe is in the neighborhood of about $170 a month. Then,
that's about right.
Then if you want to, you have a 20% copay on traditional Medicare. There are what they call Medicare gap policies that you can buy. But I was talking to a friend of mine who is here in Florida who has that, and altogether she pays over $500 a month. Now, and she has great insurance. She has traditional Medicare with a Medigap policy. She will be covered, and she can travel anywhere around the country and be covered, but it costs $500 a month. Many seniors can't afford that. So, you know, we're looking at moving, my husband and I. I just found out today I need surgery on an eye. I've got this macular thing, which really sucks. So I have insurance through the exchange. He's on a Medicare Advantage plan because the price is right and we can't afford more. But if we move to Arizona, we're both kind of out of luck. His insurance only covers him in this county. If we even go up to Palm Beach or down to Miami and something happens to him, he's screwed. I'm at least good, I think, in the state of Florida. But these are all the ways they get you. But again, there's no affordable way for somebody who's, you know, doesn't have disposable income to afford the traditional Medicare plan.
Yep, you're right. And Joe Namath doesn't tell you that, does he?
No, he does not.
He doesn't. And this, you know, the Medicare program was established in 1965 when Lyndon Johnson was president. Back then, it was really standard for even private insurance companies to have, you know, it was 80-20. They would pay 80, you would pay 20. But back then, healthcare didn't cost all that much, nothing like it does now. So now 20% is a huge amount of money.
Yes.
And that's why if you can possibly afford it at all, do get a Medicare supplement policy. I know you're exactly right. A lot of folks just can't afford that. And they're, you know, the Medicare Advantage plans are very attractive. But Lord, down the road, you could really, really regret it because of what you just said. But also, the provider networks, as you get older, are often very, very inadequate. They can often be very skimpy when it comes to rehab facilities, skilled nursing facilities. I know this from personal experience. I had to disenroll my own mother out of one so that she could get the care that she needed.
Right, and you say that. You say that in your piece today, that as people get older, the rates of them disenrolling from Medicare Advantage and trying to get into a traditional Medicare plan, it escalates, goes up as the population ages because they find that the procedures they need, the care they need, the Medicare Advantage plans are denying them.
That's exactly right. And what it is, these big insurance companies, by keeping these inadequate networks, they're essentially dumping older and sicker people back into the traditional program so that then the traditional program has to pick up the expensive care. I mean, they have got this fixed. They've got this program gamed every way from Sunday.
Right. And so, so Sydney in the chat room is saying, I just pay the $170 a month, no gap. But then Sydney's stuck with a 20% copay. And as you said, Wendell Potter, that can add up really quickly.
Yeah, it can. If you have to be hospitalized, hospital care is incredibly expensive. So even getting an MRI can be expensive.
Yes.
20% share of that can be really quite expensive. And a lot of people do enroll, and I just hope they stay healthy.
Yeah, no kidding. That's the gamble. That it and it yeah. is a gamble. It is.
And we shouldn't have to be gambling with our lives, Nicole. Our lives and our finances, and that's what our situation is. We have to do that.
Yes. Now, Wendell Potter, let me ask you this: there's a new player on the market, so to speak. There are these they're low cost pharmacies, online pharmacies popping up. Mark Cuban has one. I think it's called Cost Plus Drugs or something similar. And seriously, a lot of common medications he's offering at a fraction of what you'd pay through your insurance. Even with insurance and a copay, oftentimes you get it cheaper through Mark Cuban. And now Amazon has launched also a low-cost pharmacy. You know, are people finally just sick and tired of the exorbitant profits that everyone's taking? How can he afford to do this and we wind up paying so much more with our insurance as a buffer?
Well, he's doing it because he can make money even at those much cheaper rates or prices. He's figured out that you can make a lot of these medications a lot cheaper than the big drug companies are charging, and people pay less than, in many cases, than if you have a pharmacy plan, if you have a Part D. In fact, I have Part D, but I have ordered medications from Canada because you can get it cheaper there. You can get it cheaper through Mark Cuban's outfit for most drugs that are listed. It certainly is worth looking, even if you have Part D. GoodRx is another option you might want to consider.
Although GoodRx doesn't give you the discounts that they, although on some drugs it does. And, you know, I wonder if there's that much disparity in what they charge, and you have a good GoodRx card and they just gives you a discount at the pharmacy you use. Where's all this extra money going? The profits of the big pharma and big insurance executives, right?
Absolutely. They're getting richer and richer because our policymakers are making us, you know, suffer from these choices. And most people don't know that there are options. They don't know what to do. It's incredibly complicated. And these companies play off of that ignorance and off of complexity. The executives of these big companies make $20 million a year or more every single year. Much of that they get in bonuses from their boards. It's just outrageous. And just during the first 6 months of this year, I did a review of all the for-profit insurance companies' financial statements. They took in over $600 billion. They made profits of almost $45 billion just in 6 months. They are on track to have their most profitable year ever. We essentially have to launder our money through these companies to get the care we need, and that includes the medications we need.
Right. Well, you know, I used the phrase a little while ago, government-sanctioned extortionist. I came up with that when we first started talking, a dozen or so years ago, because I realized it is such a racket. You have to have health insurance. You cannot go without it, because if you don't have insurance, what happens is you get charged the rate of somebody who comes in off the street without insurance, the cash price. Yeah. When you get your statement, your from the insurance company, your monthly thing, you see the cost, you know, the price that the doctor charges for the procedure is $250. I'm just pulling numbers out of thin air, but you'll get it. Then the negotiated price that the insurance company gets is $35. So that's what the insurance company pays this provider that you would have to pay $250 for. So either you pay the insurance company their extortion fee so you can get it at their low rate, or you pay the cash price to the doctor. Either way, you get screwed.
Either way, you get screwed. You're exactly right. And it just shows, this continues because big insurance companies and big pharmaceutical companies have such power. They have so much money. They get more money every year from us. They use a lot of that money for campaign contributions and for lobbying. That's how they get away with it. They have so many politicians on both sides of the political aisle in their pockets.
It's astounding. And, you know, so there was one of the provisions, I think, that was in this bill that Republicans got removed was a cap on insulin, to cap the cost of insulin at $35. Insulin has been around for like a century. There's no patent on it anymore, but the drug companies are still able to charge an exorbitant amount of money. It's not like they have all this money invested into the formulation for insulin. It's been around. It doesn't cost them much, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal and some other members are supportive of a bill that would, a separate bill that would cap out-of-pocket for everybody, including the uninsured, at $35. The provision that was stripped out of the bill didn't go quite that far. But that's what we need. I mean, a lot of people who have diabetes, unfortunately, don't have insurance either.
Right.
And some of them are in very high deductible plans. This would be a godsend for so many people.
And yet, it's just a giant giveaway to the pharmaceuticals who are, this is just pure profit. This is just money they're lining their pockets with.
It is. It is. They have figured this game out, and for decades they've been making money like this, hand over fist.
You know, it's so disconcerting. I have a condition called restless leg syndrome. It's out. Bill Maher thinks it's hysterical. I've had it. I've reamed him on the air over it because it's not funny. It's a neurological condition, sort of related to Parkinson's. The medication that I use, which really doesn't, I mean, it helps a little bit, hasn't stopped it, are these patches that I use. Well, the cost of a month, for a month of patches, the retail price is about $800.
Wow.
Well, I'm on this this board, this message board for people with RLS, where we communicate. And somebody asked about it. I said, I've been using this, the 8-milligram patch, for years now. But, you know, it's somewhat effective. It's better for me than anything else. However, it's ridiculously expensive. And I told him, you know, even with my insurance, excuse me, my payment was over $250. I've since gone through the drug company and pleaded poverty, and I'm on their assistance plan now. But this person who was somewhere else in the world said, I'm still astounded by your question. We don't pay for drugs here. I get the patch every month, but it doesn't cost me anything. And, you know, that's how it is in the rest of the world, isn't it, Wendell?
It is. It absolutely is. In fact, I would plug pharmacychecker.com. You are taking an expensive medication, as most medications are. Go there and see how much your medication costs in Canada or New Zealand or Australia or somewhere in Europe or elsewhere, and you'll be really quite surprised in most cases how much cheaper it is. And you can get your doctor to send a prescription to Canada. And I've done that, and I went to see how it worked. It takes a little bit of time, and you have to do a little bit of paperwork, but not much, and it certainly is worth it, I'll tell you that.
PharmacyChecker.com?
Yep. It's either .com or .org. I can't remember, but check
Pharmacy Checker. Okay, I will. And by the way, for people who are interested and want to check out Mark Cuban's pharmacy site, it is costplusdrugs.com. So there's that. So Wendell Potter, in your newsletter, people can get that, can sign up for it at WendellPotter.com?
Yes, please. Go to WendellPotter.substack.com. Sign up. It's free. Some people are nice and provide some financial support, but it's not necessary. Everything is free. And I'd love for people to sign up. And we send a newsletter whenever I've got something, you know, a notice out. Whenever I've got something new.
Right. And today, like I said, you put out the one today that was talking about not only the Medicare Advantage scams, but there in Pennsylvania, where you've got a very hot senatorial race, it's John Fetterman running for the Democrats and Oz, who the last I heard, I thought lives in New Jersey, but he's running for the Republicans. And you explained that Dr. Oz has a huge financial stake in UnitedHealthcare.
He does. He's got
up to $500,000 or more in stock in UnitedHealthcare, which is the biggest insurer and the biggest Medicare Advantage player. He also owns stock in CVS, which owns Aetna, and Aetna and UnitedHealthcare both have big pharmacy benefit management divisions.
Hey, Wendell, can you back off from the phone a little bit? Because it sounds like you're right on top of it, and maybe you're muffled.
Okay. Because
of
that. Sorry about that.
Oh, much better.
Okay, good. Yeah, and if he were to get his wishes, he would be even richer than he is now, because these companies would make even more money if he had his way, and we all had to enroll in Medicare Advantage. He would become an extraordinarily richer person than he already is.
There is legislation to this session of Congress is almost over, so it is not going to pass this time. But the fact that they're even talking about banning members of Congress from trading stocks, that would be a good thing, wouldn't it?
It would be a very good thing, because how can you expect a member of Congress to be truly objective and to look out after his or her constituents if they know that the way they vote is going to have a bearing one way or the other on a company that they hold a lot of stock in?
Right.
That absolutely needs to happen.
And UnitedHealthcare, you say, is the largest of the Medicare Advantage providers. And some of these Medicare Advantage policies you may not even know are through UnitedHealthcare, but they are.
That's exactly right. They also market with AARP.
Yeah.
They've got a big deal with AARP, which does some good work, but they make boatloads of money from their affiliation with UnitedHealthcare.
Oh, wow. All right, I got one last question for you, and then I'll let you get to the music. Just so people know, the music doesn't start officially till like 7:30 tonight. I checked before I said, yes, let's do it from the car.
You're right. Yeah, you're right.
All right, we talked about Medicare Advantage and traditional Medicare with a supplement, and I mentioned at the beginning this direct contracting. This is something that companies are doing, and not necessarily insurance companies. You mentioned venture capital groups, hedge funds, who are buying into the system and working, and tell me if I get something wrong here, working directly with doctors. And so the doctor will place some patients into this direct contracting situation, which effectively puts them into a Medicare Advantage plan without their permission.
That's correct. That is absolutely correct. You can opt out, but chances are you might not even know about it or even know that you can opt out. And I don't know if doctors are under no obligation, to my knowledge, to disclose that. But you're exactly right. It is absolutely scandalous that this is possibly going to happen.
So should people go to their doctor's office and talk to, the business person, the business office there, and whoever you give your insurance card to, the person who does the billing, and say, I do not want to be put in a direct contracting situation?
Absolutely. And probably need to use the term ACO.
ACO?
It's called ACO. ACO Reach is the name of this program that we're talking about. And ACO stands for accountable care organizations. Theoretically, these were supposed to coordinate care in a better way and make sure people got the care that they needed when they needed it. But it hasn't proved to really save the government any money or to improve care.
Right. And all it does is it puts it. It's another financial instrument for some of these hedge funds, basically.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
So what do the doctors get out of it? Did they get a kickback? I mean, if your doctor puts you in one of these things, should we be looking for another doctor?
Well, I would be thinking about that. They stand to gain, because if you're in one of these things, they get a kind of a payment for you being one of their patients on a monthly basis. They get a little bit of money. They get a certain amount of money every month. That can be a pretty good incentive for doctors to go along with this.
So this is for Medicare patients. So this doesn't happen in just traditional. If you're in an exchange,
that's right,
in a marketplace policy, you're good. But if you're on Medicare, and you're not on Medicare Advantage, you're at risk that they will do this to you. But what if you're paying for the higher premium for a Medicare gap program? They could still do that?
They can still do it. Yeah, they can still do it.
Oh, my God.
It is a devious way of further privatizing the Medicare program that began during the Trump administration. And it hasn't been halted.
It hasn't been halted. Who do we call at the Biden administration and tell them to stop it?
call the White House switchboard and then call the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
Right.
But I would suggest that you also call your congressman and your senator, your senators, plural, and complain about this and say you do not want this to happen to you, and it shouldn't happen to anybody.
So the term, though, you need to use is ACO REACH. That's the name of this policy, Accountable Drug Organizing.
Accountable Care Organization.
Sorry, yeah. I can't even. My eyes were dilated. I can't see anything right now.
I've been there.
Yeah. So, Wendell Potter, I'm going to let you get to the music. We're almost at the end of the hour anyway. I so appreciate you joining us today. I did look at the lineup there at the Philadelphia Folk Festival, and it runs all weekend. Tomorrow, Saturday night, the headliner is Michael Ferrante and Spearhead. And I got to tell you, if you've never seen them live, do not miss this band. Michael Ferrante is the happiest man alive, and you cannot be in a bad mood at one of his shows. You will be up and dancing and singing and having fun. So
I cannot wait. I cannot wait to go.
I wouldn't say he's folk music, but it's a great way to end the night.
They've got a broad definition of folk. So I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
Great. Well, you enjoy it. You've got a great radio station in Philly too, in WXPN.
I was listening to it on the way over here. It's wonderful. It's a great, check out WXPN.org.
That's great. Well, it's, it's the format of music radio I used to work in, although that's non-commercial. So they're even more eclectic. But, they find new artists and break new acts. And it's about the music. It's not about the other stuff. It's the radio station of Penn State, I believe.
It's University of Pennsylvania. And they have even have shows. It's called World Cafe. You can hear it on the radio, and you can go in person to some every week. So they just have amazing. You're right. They have amazing shows, and they introduce new artists. It's a real treasure.
Yes, very much so. So you go enjoy. I know the people over there again because that's the format I worked in. Bruce Warren and Dan Reed. Mm. I've known for a million years. So I'm sure they'll be. I'm sure this is one of their events because no other radio plays this kind of music. So anyway, Wendell Potter, go enjoy music. It soothes, as they say, the savage breast. I used to think it was the savage beast, but it isn't.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, I'm going to go get some soothing music. We all need it.
You go do it. Thank you so much, Wendell Potter. Again, go to WendellPotter.com. You can read stuff there, but definitely sign up. Or WendellPotter.substack.com, and I'll put all that information on the blog where I post the show. Thank you so much, and have fun.
Thank you so much, Nicole.
Right.
You take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wendell Potter. Boy, he's one of the good guys. And again, I've been lucky enough to be talking to him since he burst on the scene, because that was back in the Air America days. So I used to have him on the air then. We talked all through the battles over the Affordable Care Act. And that's why I was able to tell you for years that the Republicans were lying. You know how they said they did this in the dead of night and bullshit. They wrote that bill in three different committees simultaneously. They had hearing after hearing after hearing on it. They bent over backwards to make it bipartisan, and they killed a lot of provisions in amendments because Republicans said, well, I'm not going to vote for that. And so they'd kill those provisions, and then when it came time to for the final vote on the final bill, they didn't vote for it anyway. That's how we lost the public option. So Wendell Potter has been walking the talk forever. And again, before all this came about, he was the PR person for the for-profit health insurance industry. And one day he just had enough. He went to, I think he said he was in Kentucky or Tennessee or somewhere and came upon a remote medical expedition. This is this organization called Remote RAM, Remote Area Medical, I think it was called. It was founded by a man named Stan Brock, who used to do the, not Mutual of Omaha Wild Kingdom, but one of those kind of shows. And he started doing these medical expeditions around the world and then brought them here, and they're still doing them. But that, witnessing one of these events in the United States of America with the best healthcare system on the planet, just not the best health insurance system, he was astounded, and it made him really take stock in where he was and what he was doing. And he became the, still to this day, the only health insurance industry whistleblower. Wendell Potter deserves all of our appreciation because we wouldn't be where we are without him. We'd be, I should put it differently, we'd be in a lot worse place without him. All right, I was going to open the show today with this other song. I don't even know. It's somebody on TikTok. It's Still One Black Man's Opinion is the guy's name on TikTok. I was going to open the show with this until I saw the Randy Rainbow piece. So I figured, well, I'll close it with this because it's a quickie. But you'll recognize the tune. It's a guy, for those of you just listening, it's just a guy who walks out of the house with a guitar in hand and starts singing and playing. You'll know the original song he's parodying. Here he comes.
They're knocking at your door. Hell of a surprise. They're here to search your home. Look at all these FBIs. They search a warrant on ya. They don't have to be nice. They're here to search your home. Look at all these FBIs. And now Newsmax and Fox News are lying like they're Ted Cruz. I'm disgusted, 'cause they can't admit that Donald Trump got busted. We don't believe none of the lies, not them. All these
all these FBIs. And that's it. That's the song. Talented guy. I'd like to hear some of his other music, you know? All right. That brings us just about to the end of the program. If you came looking for Howie Klein, fingers crossed, he'll be here next week. He's doing better. He's doing fine. He's recuperating. He's got his voice back. But of course, today he had to go in for some tests. So next week. All right. Tomorrow, I don't know. We'll do something probably musical, unless something big happens overnight. I'm not sure. We'll do a Friday show tomorrow. So one other thing I was going to tell you, and I just completely lost my train of thought. So, yeah, that guy's great, right? I know. Nicely done. I'm glad the chat room liked that. I did too. All right. I honestly do not remember what I was going to tell. I'll just have to tell you tomorrow. Whatever it is. I'll have more Florida stories because things here are getting, you know, you thought they were nuts already. You ain't heard nothing yet. This guy, DeSantis, is certifiable. Rest of the country, please listen up. You do not want Ron DeSantis. I saw, and this should give you a good idea, Alex Jones. And I saw the headline on one of those raw story type sites. Alex Jones is now saying, forget Trump. DeSantis is better. Yeah, that should send you packing. All right. All right. That's it. I'll see you tomorrow. And thank you for listening. I'm just waiting for the music to end. All right. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye. I'm just waiting for this to completely end. And now I'll leave you with the news because we can. All right. See you tomorrow.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Despite trying every excuse in the book to avoid it, Rudy Giuliani testified for 6 hours on Wednesday before a Georgia grand jury investigating efforts by the former guy and his allies to overturn the state's 2020 presidential election results. Giuliani, who's been identified as a target of a criminal investigation there, left the courthouse without commenting. Well, that's a change. And while we say that he testified for 6 hours, we really don't know yet if he actually answered any questions or just took the fifth. Giuliani, former New York mayor who served as Trump's personal lawyer, is the highest profile ally of the former guys to testify to the grand jury, called by Fulton County District Attorney Fani Willis. Giuliani told Georgia lawmakers in late 2020 that he had evidence of widespread voter fraud in their state, a claim that Georgia election officials debunked. Meanwhile, up in New York, former Trump Organization chief financial officer Alan Weisselberg pleaded guilty this morning to a 15-count indictment in Manhattan Supreme Court dealing with the Manhattan DA's criminal fraud case against the Trump Organization leading up to an October trial. Weisselberg did not agree to cooperate with prosecutors, but he could be called to take the stand against his former employer. In entering this plea, Weisselberg admitted that he evaded hundreds of thousands of dollars in taxes by concealing compensation from the Trump Organization, totaling around $1.76 million. Weisselberg faced up to 15 years in prison if convicted at trial. Under this plea deal, he's expected to serve as little as 100 days, probably on Rikers. And though he'll be testifying at the trial of the Trump Organization, he reportedly will not be required to cooperate with the Manhattan District Attorney's broader investigation of Donald Trump and his spawn, who have not, as of yet, been accused of any wrongdoing in the case. But wrongdoing is what this family knows. For instance, the Washington Post is now reporting that Trump is raking in the cash by fundraising off of the FBI search at Mar-a-Lago. He's bombarded his supporters with more than 100 emails asking for money, and his scam is working. Contributions to Trump's Political Action Committee topped $1 million for 2 days after the August 8th search of his Palm Beach estate. The daily hauls jumped from around $200,000 to $300,000, typical in recent months, to again over $1 million. And he's happy about the boost because he's seen dwindling returns on his fundraising solicitations, and now he's allegedly considering another presidential run. Oy. Meanwhile, news organizations are pushing to get their hands on the probable cause evidence used to get the warrant that's detailed in the sealed affidavit. The Florida magistrate, the same judge who signed off on the warrant and who's come under constant threat since the search warrant was executed last week, will hear arguments from both the Department of Justice, who says that the release of the entire probable cause affidavit could irreparably harm its ongoing investigation, and lawyers for the media and reportedly for Trump, who say they want the affidavit unsealed and released. Yeah, the former guy reportedly wants it released, but he lies about everything, so there's no reason to believe him on this one. Meanwhile, according to the Washington Post, the Orange One has been frantically trying to assemble a legal team to represent him in the week since the FBI came calling, with no luck. Apparently, the fact that he's a terrible client and famously doesn't pay his bills is making the job impossible. Well, now that Liz Cheney knows for sure she won't be returning to Congress in January, she says that she will now focus on keeping the former guy from returning to the White House, possibly by running for president herself. Cheney told NBC's Today Show that she's thinking about launching a 2024 White House bid and will, quote, make a decision in the coming months. So, are you still paying off your student loans? Well, you and around 41 million other Americans haven't had to make those payments in over 2 years, thanks to the pandemic.
But the freeze on student loan payments is set to expire in just 2 weeks on August 31st. The encouraging word is that there is a plan in the works to help called the Fresh Start Initiative. It would require those eligible to, within a year, enroll in a program that would restore their financial aid eligibility and remove the incident from their credit history. Relief could be on the way. Stay tuned. And we're now in the final days leading up to the Florida primary coming up on Tuesday. So a quick roundup from down here. 2 weeks ago, Florida's dictator in training, a governor, suspended Hillsborough County State Attorney Andrew Warren from office over his vow not to prosecute people accused of violating laws against abortion or providing transgender health care. Well, Warren filed a federal lawsuit against DeSantis, citing free speech rights and prosecutorial discretion in trying to get his job back. Warren, a Democrat, was elected state attorney in the Tampa area in 2016. And yes, he has asked the court to order DeSantis to reinstate him, calling the suspension an abuse of power and a violation of his free speech rights. Speaking of the questionable practices of this governor, just days ago, he announced that to combat Florida's teacher shortage, that he would loosen educational requirements to allow veterans and police officers to become teachers without even so much as a bachelor's degree. What could possibly go wrong? And now Broward County is trying to fill its many vacancies by hiring from the Philippines. Yeah, about 102 Filipino teachers have either already arrived in schools or are on their way in the coming weeks. Teaching call centers outsourced to the Philippines? Way to go, Florida. And that's just a bit of what's news. For now, I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.